people need to remember, Anglo-American beat the index, not because they had desk jockeys sitting at their screen doing corporate deals left and right, trying to beat the other guy. That's how you underperform the index by trading. You beat the index by putting money in your own company and finding assets or processes that nobody's found before, and you nurture them from zero to stage one, stage two, and then you only release them to go flying into the market when you've extracted 70% or more of the value. And that's what the Oppenheimers did. That's what our gold shares need to do. Durbin Deep, it's kind of what Neil's doing. You don't see him buying other operating assets. You see him buying assets that people don't even know exist, or that they're too difficult. And it's long-term, you know, negotiating these dumps, the land, the people around it, and then working out how many pipes do I have to put in? How far do I pump it? You know, what's my average recovery going to be? But you got to be impressed. When the company's had the same CEO for this long, he knows it so well, all aspects of the business. He's a very astute person. He knows his business. Ergo was great. That was created by Anglos. But I've been so impressed. The level of technical expertise at DRD has exceeded what Anglos had at Ergo decades ago. You know, he's picked up from that and carried it.
BizNews Mining Web WhatsApp channel. It's for our premium subscribers. There's been a lot of debate about exploration in South Africa, and they were asking me to pose that to you. Exploration in South Africa is kind of nowhere. I don't know if it's fallen off the bus completely or if it's about to fall off the last little bit off the bus. But what, in your perception, is the problem here, and what could turn it around?
Gee, we know the problem. It's got three letters, huh? It starts with A and it ends with C. And that is the biggest problem with exploration in this country. It's no secret. Everybody knows it. First of all,
so for those who don't know, we're talking ANC, the socialist ruling party in South Africa.
Yeah, if it was only socialist, if it wasn't kleptomania. Anyways, kleptocracy. So let's look at exploration. You're out in your backyard. You're out on the mountain. You're exploring. And whether you plan on finding something or you accidentally find on something, you come up with a shiny rock and you get it tested. You talk to experts, and that's a valuable rock, whether it's gold, platinum, copper, doesn't matter. It costs money to do professional exploration, to find a deposit large enough to be economically viable. And we know small mines are not economically viable because they have to do so much of the same things the big mines have, but they don't have the resources, the expertise, especially nowadays. You know, ESG, community relations, health, safety, the list goes on. It costs us much for a little company to do that. The admin work, you know, the running around chasing, where's my permit? When's it going to get processed? So people don't want to explore in South Africa because even if they find something, they can't raise money to take it up the curve. They can't find somebody to sell it to. And the big companies aren't exploring here because they say, we've got 5 years left, we got 10 years left, but if the trend is your friend, we are in a horrible trend. We're in a trend where the infrastructure is getting worse and worse, where the uncertainty of legislation is getting worse, and the certainty of the legislation is bad. You know, Gwede always says, okay, I've removed uncertainty. You know, we're just going to take 51% of every diamond project. Well, you might have certainty in it, but that's not bringing in money. You know, the ANC to say diamonds are special, you have to give up 51%. Well, they changed that after a decade or so. But it just shows their policy is not well thought out. It's thought out by people that don't know what they're doing. So let's get back. That's why people are not investing in exploration. Because South Africa probably has more known minerals than any single country in the world. But yes, what you know, you sink a shaft, you build a mine, you know there's so much there. but you have to continually drill, use geophysics, explore, put people on the ground. But there's no return in that investment. So I think that simplifies your question. There's no return in investment because even if you find something, you can't find somebody to develop it with you. You can't find anybody to buy it. And it's because of the whole perception, which is a true perception, that South Africa is not an easy, stable, good place to do business with, especially in mining. There's too many kleptocrats all around mining who misjudged it by a mile, who thought a gold mine is just a hole in the ground that sends out gold bricks, like a gusher of an oil well in Texas in the old days. And they don't realize, no, a mine is a black hole. It's an enormous, giant black shaft that sucks more money than you'll ever see, that you'll ever put together. And only if it's finely balanced and managed by like a symphony conductor that Oppenheimer's and our other mining giants were, they have to manage all these different moving plates on the sticks correctly. Then it will produce money for the good of the country. But yeah, our legislation and their attitude, they don't even show an attitude that says we do want investment, we do understand. So I'm in the exploration business, raising money. I've got lots of clients with good projects, good properties. And it's one step above impossible to find anybody anywhere, locally or overseas, that will put money in. Not that they doubt the minerals, not that they doubt the integrity of the people who've explored or want to. They just say, what will I do with it if I get it? That we've been told for the last 10 years, one of the reasons foreigners haven't bought Steenkamp's Kraal is because there's this threat the state will not let them. That the state considers rare earths strategic for South Africa's future. And that anybody buying it has to get permission from the government. And whether they have to use the IDC or there's going to be another government vehicle created. And so if we didn't have enough negatives putting people off investing in South Africa, there's this one hanging over Steenkamp's Kraal.
Mining was in 1980. We were in the middle, we started with a gold boom, and mining was where it was at. There were many dozens and dozens of mining companies listed on the stock market. So anybody who was around at that stage in my field would have got a good understanding of mining grades and recovery grades and the resources that you had in the ground, etc. So it's always been a big industry for me. When I then went to the mining in Durban, it kind of got to me on the basis, it felt a bit like, and I know it's not as exaggerated, but a little bit like what happened in Zambia when the new government took over in Zambia and they kicked out the colonialists. Zambia decided to nationalize everything, and in the process they destroyed the mining industry. I got that sense in South Africa that this jewel that should have been protected and should have been developed has just been, I don't know if it was through neglect or through because they wanted to do it intentionally, but mining has the numbers, they're still fairly impressive, but they're just nowhere near where we were in bygone years. And the thing that shocked me most was to hear that there'd be no exploration for new minerals in 20 years. So it's not even a question of there's been no mines in new mines in 20 years, but no one's even looking at the minerals to build the mines. Now, I know you've been saying this a lot. For the first time for me, this hit me in the face.
You summed it up perfect, Alec. Perfect. And it's more than an analogy. It's a replication of what happened in Zambia. A fantastic industry that was homegrown and built up over 70, 80 years was plundered, neglected, destroyed, mismanaged. And you are exactly right. Sitting at that Indaba, you're probably hearing the same screams and moans and cries that we've heard in Zambia. You know, the Zambian, when they nationalized those mines in the late 60s, early 70s, Zambia was a titan. It was in the top 10 copper producers. And they made their own steel. They had their own power plants. They mined manganese. And I think copper production was 700,000 tons. and it fell all the way to 200,000 tons over the next 30 years. Think how many men lost their jobs. Think how many industries fell apart dependent on those coppers. We've fallen from 650 tons of gold produced a year for decades down to 90 tons. And yet we still have half the world's gold. You know, anybody should be asking, who managed this? Who oversaw this? Who implemented this disaster? You know, we're producing less coal now than we were 25, 30 years ago. We're producing less iron ore than 25, 30 years ago. We were a Leviathan in 1980. Nobody could beat us in 1980. You know, Anglo-America was the largest investor in the United States of America. The Americans were terrified of us. So, yeah, you are seeing what's happened in Zambia and in Zimbabwe. And it's not turned around here. It's still going down. Let's talk capital allocation. America is pretty darn good at capital allocation. And they allow the individuals, they allow the companies and the people to allocate capital as they best see fit. And wasn't Warren Buffett the master of capital allocation? Of course he was. And America has got to be the master of capital allocation because the S&P is now, what, two-thirds of the world index. And we're talking some big countries in the world, China, India, you know, they got big stock markets. They're big, rich countries. You know, each one of them is five times the size of America. America is great at capital allocation. South Africa was pretty good at it. Now they're horrible at it. So I'd love someone to say to the ANC, you've had a budget in today's terms of what, $2.5 billion a year? You've been empowered for 30 years? Sorry, $2.5 trillion. So in real terms, you've had 60 trillion rand in 30 years. How did you allocate that capital? Did you put it into things that paid back more than the capital and they paid a return on it? Or did you put it into black holes? We know consumption, you don't get much back on, maybe a hangover, maybe a good memory. But okay, let's get back to your question then. Sorry, I got sidetracked. We're talking capital allocation. We're talking America.
Why the world doesn't follow the American example?
Yeah. Why? I don't even think it's ideology. I think it's blatant stubbornness. Yeah. China followed it. And I think they said, this is an American ideology. This just makes sense. You know, growing, giving the individuals latitude to earn capital and to allocate it how they want. Now, yeah, you raised the question. Mr. Trump is now starting to allocate America's capital. I'm not sure he's a great capital allocator. You know, last I heard, he had three, four listed companies that all went bust. Now, he managed to make a few billion out of it, but the investors didn't. So I think he's taking it too far. And I know some other big people, not me, but big people, reputable people also think he's taking it too far. Backing off from the regulations should be enough. Lowering interest rates, Alec, should be enough. You know, you just back off on overzealous regulators and the free market will do the rest. You know, that's why the IT industry grows so well. There's no regulators because they didn't know what to regulate. Mining grew great in the 1800s and 1900s because there weren't regulators and they didn't know how to regulate it. Once you get a large government in place and they start regulating things, once you nationalize the properties, the minerals, now you're really regulating, you're not going to get that kind of growth. So I worry that Mr. Trump, does he need to take a stake in these companies? You know, telling NVIDIA, I'll let you sell the chips if I get 10 or 15%. I got problems with that. You know, either let him sell or don't let him sell. Now, and he badmouths Obama for investing in some solar companies, some alternative energy companies that went buns up. Hey, that happens to fund managers. We don't need a government to do that. You know, government wastes and loses enough money. They don't need to get into venture capital. I don't think the United States has to provide extra low interest rate loans. Maybe they give some tax breaks, you know, a 5-year tax break. All your capital can be tax deductible in the year you expend it. You know, South Africa had very general, rule-accepted breaks, and that led to Oppenheimer sinking 4-kilometer deep shafts out of his own pocket, spending billions out of his own pocket. You know, so that's all the incentive he needed. He didn't need subsidies. He didn't need the government to take 10, 20%. If they want to, fine. Be a lot better than BEE. And a lot of people recommended that. Less chance for corruption.
Isn't it just a dream to get the politicians out the room, maybe get a few businessmen in there and say, come on, let's get jobs, let's create jobs, let's create wealth, let's play to South Africa's advantages. And rare earth seems to be one of them.
It is a dream, but it could be a lot more. I mean, to say America's the sticking point in our negotiations, is that news? Of course they're the sticking point. They're 10 times our size and they're kind of run by a bully. And we've been jerks for 30 years, giving them the middle finger and doing everything we could to piss them off. So that's not news. America is a stumbling block. Of course they are. So what are you going to do about it? That's the question. You know, maybe you got to bend a little bit. Maybe you got to give. And since when didn't politics affect international affairs? You know, is that news? Politics is international affairs. So get with the program, guys. We got 45% unemployment. We got no growth. And we got all of the minerals that the world wants. Let's do something. And we got the two richest countries that would love to be friends with us. What a great position to be in. And we act like we're in a bad position. We're only in a bad position because we got the wrong bus driver. We got a busload of good people, a busload of great assets. And we got the same driver we've had for 35 years.
And maybe Pretoria and Eskom should be looking at this and saying, hang on, we don't want the PGMs to get into the same kind of trouble that the ferromanganese have got into, and the chrome, the ferrochrome. So let's start giving them a bit of a break as well. Is that what you're arguing for?
Yes. And we've said so long, Alec, you, I, and every economist out there, government doesn't need to do very much to really help our industries here. In fact, if they would just repeal legislation, if they would just not have so much legislation, our industries know what to do. This has got to be one of the easiest jobs in the world, turning around a sick, tired industry that's been constrained by all this massive government intervention and regulation. Our government should have the easiest job on the planet of accelerating their industrial base. That's their Christmas present they can give to us. Less regulation, less policy.